A large reddish-orange planet, wrapped in swirls of cloud, hangs in the vast ocean of space. Beneath the surface of the planet, in a huge cavern cut from rock, is a large industrial plant with a vast network of buildings, pipes, and chimneys. A man in orange overalls is moving stealthily and warily through a warren of caves.
Who's that?
Jerry leaves, Sam.
Six men turn a corner and join the nervous-looking man, Sam.
All quiet. Didn't see a thing, Chief.
Nobody ever does. Whatever the thing is, it's already killed 50 people. But realize before how dark it is down here.
Stay on your toes, Schmitter. Keep your phaser in your hand at all times.
What good will that do? You saw what happened to Ed Appel when he took a shot at the thing. How about all those other people before the monster got him?
I'm sorry, Schmitter. I know how you feel, but we've got to have guards.
Okay, Chief. I'll do what I can.
Keep alert. If you hear anything or see anything, call in. Somebody can be here in 3 minutes.
That can happen in 3 minutes. Chief, is it true the Enterprise is on its way?
It's coming.
You think it could get here in the next 4 hours?
You'll be all right.
The gray-haired chief pats Schmitter on the shoulder and leaves with the rest of his men. Looking anxious, Schmitter paces around in the gloom. He moves in and out of the shadows and into pools of light spilling down from above. He spins round to face something approaching him. The chief and his men come racing back to where they left Schmitter and stare at the ground in horror.
Schmitter, like the rest of them, burned to a crisp.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry. Starring William Shatner, also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock. The Devil in the Dark.
Captain's log, stardate 3196.1. A distress call from the Phrygian production station on Janus 6 has brought the Enterprise to that long-established colony. Mr. Spock, Dr. McCoy, and I have beamed down to meet with Chief Engineer Vandenberg, administrative head of Janus 6.
Kirk, McCoy, and Spock are shown along a brightly lit corridor by a worker and led into an office.
All right, let's assume there is a monster. What has it done? When did it start?
About 3 months ago, we opened up a new level. Sensors gave us an unusually rich pergium reading. Not only pergium, whatever you want. Uranium, cerium, platinum. The whole planet's like that. It's a treasure house.
Yes, we're aware of that. If mining conditions weren't so difficult, Janus 6 could supply the mineral needs of 1,000 planets. But what happened?
First, the automatic machinery, piece by piece, started to almost disintegrate. Metal began dissolving away. There was no reason for it, and our chemists were unable to analyze the corrosive agent.
I'm sure there is an answer. It simply has not yet been discovered.
Yes, it has. I don't know what this butchering monster is, but I know what it's doing.
Vandenberg pulls out a map.
Our maintenance engineer sent down to the drifts to repair the corroded machinery. We found them. Seared to a crisp.
Volcanic activity?
There is no current volcanic activity on this planet, Captain.
He's right, none. At first, the deaths were down deep, but they've been moving up toward our levels. The last man died 2 days ago, 3 levels below this.
Same way, burned?
I'd like to examine the body.
We kept it for you. There isn't much left. Roberts will show you.
A door slides open, and McCoy is led out.
It isn't pretty.
You post sentries, guards?
Of course. Five of them have died.
Who else has seen this?
I have.
This is Ed Appel, chief processing engineer.
Describe it.
I can't. I only got a glimpse of it. But it's big and shaggy.
Ed shot it.
Oh. You mean shot at it?
No, I mean shot it. With this.
Fascinating.
A good clean shot. Didn't even slow it down.
Well, I've made my report to you. Production has stopped and nobody will go into the lower levels, and I don't blame them. Federation wants per diem, then you're gonna have to do something about it.
That's why we're here, Mr. Vandenberg.
All pretty tough, aren't you? Starship, phaser banks. Well, you can't get your starship down over the tunnels.
I don't think there'll be any need to, Mr. Appel. Mr. Vandenberg, I'll need a complete subsurface chart of all the drifts, galleries, tunnels.
You'll get it.
Mr. Vandenberg, what is this?
It's a silicon nodule. There are a million of them down there, no commercial value.
But a geological oddity, to say the least. Pure silicon.
A few trace elements. Look, we didn't call you here so you could collect rocks.
Thank you, Mr. Vandenberg. We'll need your complete cooperation.
You'll have it. Just find that creature, whatever it is. I've got a quota to meet. Come on, Appel.
A vast number of tunnels is not going to make our hunting any easier. Doc?
The Schmetter didn't burn to death, Jim. Not in the usual sense, anyway.
Explain that.
Well, there are only fragments of bone and teeth left. But the plant's physician agrees with me. A chemical corrosion. Almost as if he'd been thrown into a vat of extremely corrosive acid.
Strong enough to eat machinery?
Strong enough to eat anything else the way you can think of.
Mr. Spock?
I've charted the position of the deaths and the acts of sabotage. Here, here, and here. If the times of these incidents are to be accepted as accurate, the creature would have to have moved at an incredible rate of speed.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Vandenberg, how recent are these charts?
They were made last year.
Before the appearance of whatever it is?
That's right.
I see. Mr. Spock? Give us a report on life beneath the surface.
Within range of our sensors, there is no life, other than the accountable human residents of this colony beneath the surface. At least, no life as we know it.
We can't cover tunnel by tunnel on foot. We must get production going again. We must have that per diem.
Captain, if we could force another appearance of this creature.
When that creature appears, men die.
In one of the tunnels, a man passes a door marked Power Reactor, Caution, Radiation. Hearing something, he spins round and draws a small Type 1 phaser, hardly bigger than a cigarette lighter. He moves slowly back into a cavern where several of the passageways meet and turns in horror. Something rears up and smothers him. An imprint of the man's upper body is left on the cavern floor, and a smoking trail leads to the power reactor where a large circular hole has been cut through the door. Back in Vandenberg's office.
Too many tunnels. I couldn't possibly. Mr. Spock, our sensors can pick up normal life functions at a considerable distance. But what about abnormal life functions?
Nothing's happening in the reactor room.
The lights flicker. Vandenberg races out, followed by the Enterprise party. Some of Vandenberg's men have gathered near the reactor door.
Back to your stations. Look at that.
Vandenberg goes through the smoking hole in the door. Kirk reaches out his hand.
I wouldn't touch it, Captain. An extremely active corrosive. Traces may linger.
Kirk, quickly!
Kirk inspects the hole and gingerly climbs through it. Spock follows.
The main circulating pump for the entire reactor, it's gone.
Same indication shown at the door, Captain. Very strong corrosive.
Is there a replacement for that?
No, none. It's outdated. We never had any trouble with it.
Spock on board?
Nothing for a device this antiquated, Captain.
Without the pump mechanism, the reactor will go supercritical. It could poison half the planet. We can't shut it down. It provides heat and air and life support for the whole colony.
Mr. Spock, we seem to have been given a choice. Death by asphyxiation. Or death by radiation poisoning.
On the bridge of the Enterprise, Scotty grins.
A PXK per diem reactor? No, sir. We don't have any spare circulating pump for a thing like that. I haven't seen a PXK in 20 years.
Can you rig one up? It's vital.
Well, sir, I can put together some odds and ends, but it won't hold for long.
How long?
48 hours, maybe, with a bit of luck.
48 hours is better than nothing. Get together what you need and beam down here with it.
Top priority.
Hi, Captain.
I'll be right down. Scott out.
What happens when it breaks down?
Hopefully, we'll have found the missing part by then.
Hopefully, small chance.
We'll have to, Chief. The alternative is to evacuate all you people up to the Enterprise. A dozen planets depend on you for Pergium for their reactor. They're already screaming. Reactor's closing down. Life support system.
I'm concerned with my people right here, Kirk. They're being murdered. You find that monster and kill it.
The missing pump was not taken by accident. It was the one piece of equipment absolutely essential for the operation of the reactor.
You think the creature is trying to push the colonists off the planet?
It would seem so.
But why now, Mr. Spock? These production facilities have been in operation for over 50 years.
I don't know. But there is a possibility.
What's that?
Spock looks at the spherical nodule on Vandenberg's desk.
Life as we know it is universally based on some combination of carbon compounds. But what if life exists based on another element? For instance, silicon.
You're creating fantasies, Mr. Spock.
Not necessarily, Bones. I've heard of the theoretical possibility of life based on silicon, but silicon-based life would be of an entirely different order. Possible that our phasers might not affect it?
Certainly not phaser one, which is far less powerful than phaser two.
All right. How about this? A creature that lives deep in the planet below us, at home in solid rock. It seems to me that in order to survive, it would have to have some form of natural armor plating.
It could explain much, especially since the colonists are armed only with phaser one.
But our people have phaser number two.
Which I could adjust to be more effective against silicon.
Silicon-based life is physiologically impossible, especially in an oxygen atmosphere.
It may be, Doctor, that the creature can exist for brief periods in such an atmosphere before returning to its own environment.
I still think you're imagining things.
You may be right, Doctor, but at least there's something to go on. Mr. Spock, have Lieutenant Commander Giotto assemble the security troops and arm them with phaser number two. You make the proper adjustments.
Spock nods, his eyes fixed on the football-sized silicon nodule, deep in thought. Kirk goes to the other side of the desk and leans on it opposite Spock with the nodule between them.
You seem fascinated by this rock.
Spock picks it up.
Yes, Captain. You recall that Vandenberg commented there were thousands of these at a lower level. The level which the machinery opened just prior to the first appearance of the creature.
Do they tie in?
I don't know.
Speculate.
McCoy steps up to Spock with a challenging, inquisitive expression.
I have already given Dr. McCoy sufficient cause for amusement. I would prefer to cogitate the possibilities for a time.
A short time, Mr. Spock. We have very little.
In the reactor room, Scotty and his assistant work on a makeshift pump.
How's it going, Scotty?
Well, sir, it's a plumber's nightmare, but it'll hold for a bit.
It has to hold longer than a bit.
I'm sorry, sir. That's about the best I can do. And I guarantee it's not good enough.
Kirk here.
Captain, the security officers have gathered in Chief Vandenberg's office.
I'll be right there. Kirk out. Scotty, right here on it. Kind words, tender loving care. Kiss it, baby it, flatter it if you have to, but keep it going.
I'll do what I can, sir.
You will proceed from level to level, checking out every foot of opening. You are searching for some sort of creature which is highly resistant to phaser fire. Your phasers will be set on maximum. And remember this, 50 people have died. I want no more deaths.
Except the bloody thing.
The creature may or may not attack on sight. However, you must. It is vitally important that we get this installation back into production.
Mr. Vandenberg, may I ask at which level you discovered the nodules of silicon?
The 23rd. Why?
Commander Giotto, take your detail, go directly to the 23rd level, start your search there.
Aye, aye, sir. May I ask if you have reason to suspect this creature may be on that level?
It's one of the possibilities we've discussed. I want your people to stay on the top level together and in a safe place.
I don't know any safe place, Captain. The way that thing comes and goes.
Well, gentlemen, you have your instructions. Let's get at it.
Giotto and his five red-shirted men file out of Vandenberg's office. Later, Giotto leads two of his men along a gloomy tunnel in the caves. They have their larger Type 2 phasers drawn. Elsewhere in the labyrinthine network of tunnels, Spock and Kirk, also with their phasers drawn, hunt the creature. Using his tricorder, Spock analyzes some rock on the cave wall. Kirk doubles back to join him.
Mr. Spock, find something?
Adjusting my tricorder to register for silicon. Interesting.
Traces.
Spock nods. Giotto's three men duck under an archway as they move stealthily through the underground tunnels. Spock looks at his tricorder.
A life form, Captain. Bearing 111 degrees. Elevation, 4 degrees.
One of our people?
No, sir. Silicon.
They duck under a low connecting archway. One of Giotto's men is creeping through the rough-hewn tunnels on his own. He looks round with a hawk-like gaze, taking in every nook and cranny. He spins round. The creature envelops him. Kirk and Spock rush to the spot where the man was attacked, but they find no sign of the creature, only the charred, powdery, smoking remains of their fellow crewmen.
You never even had a chance to fire, Captain.
Only been seconds since we heard him scream. The creature must still be around.
Spock turns on his tricorder. He heads off along the tunnel, tricorder in one hand, phaser in the other. Kirk kneels down by the crewman's remains with a hard, brooding expression. Spock finds a smaller, smooth, round tunnel cut into the wall.
Captain. This tunnel, my readings indicate it was made within the hour. Moments ago, in fact.
Are you certain?
Positive.
This tunnel goes back as far as the eye can see. Our best machinery couldn't cut a tunnel like this. Not even with phasers.
Indeed, Captain. I'm quite at a loss.
A creature, like a mound of molten lava, slithers up behind them. They fire their phasers at it, and it escapes along another smooth, round tunnel, leaving a trail of vapor.
Gone.
Disappeared. Astonishing that anything of that bulk could move so rapidly.
These walls are hot.
Indeed. This tunnel was cut within the last 2 minutes.
You all right, Captain?
Yes, perfect.
Did you see it, sir?
Yes, we saw it. Where does the tunnel go, Mr. Spock?
Readings indicate a maze of tunnels of this general category in that direction.
Did you get a shot at it?
Yes, we took a bite out of it.
Spock picks up a fragment of the creature's soft outer carapace that looks like a large pizza.
Of animal tissue. What is it?
Closest approximation I could come to would be fibrous asbestos. A mineral, Captain.
Then your guess was right?
It would seem so. Silicon-based.
Summation.
We are dealing with a silicon creature of the deep rocks, capable of moving through solid rock as easily as we move through the air.
That would account for the tunnels.
Correct. This creature's body secretes an extremely powerful corrosive.
Powerful enough to dissolve the door of the reactor chamber.
And it explains the murdered men.
It's definitely phaser resistant. We had a weapon set for silicon and on full power. Yet we only damaged it. It still lives.
You mean it's impossible to kill?
No. No, it might require massed phasers.
Or a single phaser with much longer contact.
Commander, pass this on to your men. We knew it was a killer. Now it's wounded. Probably in pain, somewhere back there. There's nothing more dangerous than a wounded animal. Commander Giotto, instruct your men to concentrate the search in this sector. Remind them that the creature is wounded.
Aye, aye, sir.
Giotto leaves with one of his men.
What is it, Mr.
I've run a complete spherical check on all life forms, Captain. Radius 100 miles. I've located our men, all of them. And I've located one creature moving rapidly through native rock bearing 201. And that is all.
One creature in 100 miles.
Exactly. Captain, there are literally thousands of these tunnels in this general area alone. Far too many to be cut by the one creature in an ordinary lifetime.
Then we're dealing with more than one creature, despite your tricorder readings. Or we have a creature with an extremely long lifespan.
Or it is the last of a race of creatures which made these tunnels. If so, if it is the only survivor of a dead race, to kill it would be a crime against science.
Mr. Spock, our mission is to protect this colony, to get the Progeum moving again. This is not a zoological expedition. Maintain a constant reading on the creature. If we have to, we'll use our phasers to cut our own tunnels. We'll try to surround it. I'm sorry, Mr. Spock, but I'm afraid the creature must die.
I see no alternative myself, Captain. It merely seems a pity. The search team is gathering in the main tunnel.
Good. So it is wounded, and therefore twice as dangerous. Stay in pairs. If you see it, concentrate your phaser fire at what appears to be its head. Concentrate it, maintain it. It is definitely resistant, but it can be hurt. And if it can be hurt, it can be killed. Mr. Spock?
Gentlemen, if you'll examine your charts, please. I last located the creature in the area marked Adit 2-6, moving at bearing 201. This particular group will move out beyond that area in all directions in an effort to surround it, possibly capture it.
Your orders are shoot to kill. Protect yourself at all times. Commander Giotto, disperse your search parties.
Aye, aye, sir. Lewis, Vincey, take your men out.
Mr. Spock? Capture it? I don't recall giving any such order.
You did not, sir. I merely thought that if the opportunity arose...
I will lose no more men. The creature will be killed on sight, and that's the end of it.
Very well, sir.
Mr. Spock, I want you to assist Scotty in maintaining that makeshift circulating pump.
I beg your pardon, sir.
You heard me. It's vital that we keep that reactor in operation. Your scientific knowledge...
is not needed there, sir. Mr. Scott has far more knowledge of nuclear reactors than I do. You're aware of that.
Mr. Spock, you are second in command. This will be a dangerous hunt. Either one of us, by himself, is expendable. Both of us are not.
Captain, there are approximately 100 of us engaged in this search against one creature. The odds against you and I both being killed are 2,228.7 to 1.
2,228.7 to 1? Those are pretty good odds, Mr. Spock.
And they are, of course, accurate, Captain.
Of course. Well, I hate to use the word, but logically, with those kind of odds, you might as well stay. But please stay out of trouble, Mr. Spock.
That is always my intention, Captain.
Kirk looks skeptical.
Kirk here.
Scotty here, Captain. My brilliant improvisation just gave up the ghost. It couldn't stand the strain.
Can you fix it again?
Negative, Captain. It's gone for good.
Start immediate evacuation of all colonists to the Enterprise.
Not all of them, Captain. I and some of my key personnel are staying.
We'll be down to join you.
We don't have enough phasers for you.
Can we use clubs? We're not being chased away from here. We're staying.
Good. Get everybody else aboard the Enterprise. The fewer people we have breathing the air down here, the longer the rest of us will be able to hold out. How much longer, Scotty?
The reactor will go supercritical in about 10 hours, sir. You have that long to find the mechanism.
We'll do our best. Start feeding us constant status reports, Scotty. Vandenberg, you and your crew assemble at level 23, checkpoint Tiger. Kirk out. Team up with the Enterprise security personnel. They're better armed than you are. Keep someone in sight at all times. Vandenberg, take two men. Go through that tunnel there. Rendezvous with Commander Giotto. Appel, the rest of the men, go through there. And tie up with Lieutenant Osborne's detail. Mr. Spock and I will control the operation from a central point. That's all, gentlemen.
Vandenberg and his men disperse. Kirk notices Spock raise his phaser.
Mr. Spock?
Captain, we are being watched.
Are you sure? Intuition?
No, sir. We're being watched.
Vandenberg and two of his men creep cautiously along a tunnel. Spock and Kirk stalk through the gloom. Spock checks his tricorder.
Captain, Fresh readings within the hour. in each of these tunnels.
Chart says both these tunnels converge a few thousand yards further. You take the left, I'll take the right.
Should we separate?
Two tunnels, two of us. We separate.
Kirk sets off alone with his phaser drawn. Spock waits where the two tunnels split off from each other. Kirk presses ahead, darting looks into the shadows. Crouching low, Spock makes his way through one of the smooth, circular tunnels. Kirk is moving along a similar tunnel. Kirk looks over his shoulder and climbs out of the narrow tunnel. He's in a cavern that's littered with the spherical silicon nodules. He pulls out his communicator.
Mr. Spock?
Yes, Captain?
I found a whole lair of these silicon nodules of yours, hundreds of them.
Indeed. I find that most illuminating, Captain.
Be absolutely certain you do not damage any of them.
Explain.
Only a theory I have.
Captain.
The creature causes a rockfall close to Kirk.
Are you all right?
Jim! Jim!
Yes, Mr. Spock, all right.
We
seem to have had a cave-in.
I could phaser you out.
No, you better not. Any disturbance might bring down the rest of the wall.
Besides, it isn't necessary. The chart said that the tunnels meet further on.
Very well. But I find it extremely disquieting that your roof chose that particular moment to collapse. Please proceed with extreme caution. I shall quicken my pace.
Very well, Mr. Spock. I'll meet you at the other end.
A section of wall glows red and melts away, revealing a smooth, circular hole. The lava-like creature shuffles out of the newly bored tunnel. Kirk lowers his communicator and stares in shock, transfixed, as the creature shuffles towards him. Kirk stands defiantly pointing his phaser. The creature facing him is shaped like a gigantic, soft, pulsating tortoise shell. Kirk slowly lowers his phaser and the creature scuttles closer. He raises his phaser and the creature backs away. A standoff develops, almost like a game. Kirk raises his phaser, the creature backs off. Kirk lowers his phaser. The creature moves towards him. Kirk slowly moves to one side and the creature mirrors his movement.
Kirk here.
Captain, I've just read some fresh signs.
The creature is in this area. It'll take a life form reading.
It's not necessary, Mr. Spock. I know exactly where the creature is.
Where, Captain?
10 feet away from here.
Kill it, Captain. Quickly.
It's not making any threatening moves, Spock.
You don't dare take the chance, Captain.
Kill it.
I thought you were the one that wanted kept alive. Captured, if possible.
Jim, your life is in danger. You can't take the risk.
It seems to be waiting.
I remind you, it is a proven killer. I'm on my way. Spock out.
Kirk slowly pockets his communicator, keeping his phaser trained on the creature. Appel, wearing pink overalls, leads three mining engineers armed with clubs along a tunnel. The creature, its soft outer shell like a lumpy red and brown quilt, cuts off Kirk's path every time he tries to edge out of the chamber. Kirk sighs and squats down.
Well, what do we do? Just talk it over?
The creature shuffles round, revealing a wound.
Well, you can be hurt, can't you? We just sit here,
It's your move.
Spock runs in, phaser raised.
No, no, don't shoot.
Kirk holds up his hand to Spock as the creature gets restless. Spock stares at the strange life form, keeping his phaser trained on it, then glances over at Kirk. Neither man moves as the creature shuffles round. Kirk beckons.
Come on over, Mr. Spock.
Spock twitches an eyebrow with a flicker of mild surprise, and keeping his phaser trained on the gently pulsating creature, walks across the cavern to Kirk. He crouches down beside his captain.
Fascinating. It's made no moves against you?
No. Seems to be waiting. I tried talking to it, but didn't do any good.
Spock points to a pile of silicon nodules.
Yes. They're all through here. All over the place. Thousands of them.
Yes, I see.
It means something to you?
Possibly the answer, Captain. But I'm not certain. Captain, you're aware of the Vulcan technique of the joining of two minds.
They stand up.
You think you can get through that thing?
Possible.
Mr. Spock, I know it's a terrible personal lowering of the mental barriers. But if there's a chance,
I'll try.
Spock edges slowly towards the creature, pointing his phaser at it. It backs away. He stops and clips the phaser to his belt, then moves forward with his hands half raised. The creature shuffles. Spock stands before it, his hands clasped together. He holds his hands towards the creature and concentrates intently.
Pain! Pain! Pain!
His face contorted, Spock staggers. Kirk catches him.
That's all I got, Captain. Waves and waves of searing pain. It's an agony.
The creature scuttles onto a rocky shelf. Kirk and Spock watch as it pulsates. Kirk moves closer to look as the creature slithers off the rocky shelf. Etched into the smoldering stone are the words, "No kill I."
No kill I. What is that? A plea for us not to kill it? Or a promise that it won't kill us?
I don't know, Captain. Evidently, it gained an immediate knowledge of us from its empathy with me. In my brief contact with the creature's mind, I discovered it as a highly intelligent, extremely sophisticated animal. In great pain, of course, because of its wound. But not reacting at all like a wounded creature. It calls itself a Horta.
A Horta. A Horta. Mr. Spock, we need that retardation mechanism. You must reestablish communications with it.
Captain, it has no reason to give us the device, and apparently every reason for wishing us off this planet.
Yes, I'm aware of that. If we could only win its confidence. Dr. McCoy, this is Captain Kirk.
Yes, Captain.
Grab your medical kit and come down here on the double. I've got a patient for you.
Is somebody injured? What happened?
Never mind. Just come down to the 23rd level. You'll be led to us by tricorder readings. Kirk out.
Jim, I remind you that this is a silicon-based form of life. Dr. McCoy's medical knowledge will be totally useless.
He's a healer. Let him heal. Mr. Spock, you must reestablish communications. I want to know why it suddenly took to murder.
To obtain that kind of communication, Captain, it will be necessary to touch it.
We've seen how the creature destroys.
Kirk keeps his phaser trained on the Horta, as Spock walks slowly towards it. The creature pulsates slightly as Spock gets nearer. Spock kneels in front of the Horta and slowly reaches out to touch it with both hands. He screws up his eyes and his face contorts. Kirk flips open his communicator.
Lieutenant Commander Giotto.
Giotto here, Captain. Are you all right?
Perfectly all right. Where are you?
We're at the end of the tunnel. Now, Mr. Vandenberg and his men are here, and they're pretty ugly. Shall I let them through?
Under no circumstances. Allow them in here yet. The minute Doc McCoy gets there, send him through.
Aye, aye, sir.
Spock shakes his head in agony.
Ritter! The thousands! Devils! Eternity ends! The Chamber of the Ages. The Altar of Tomorrow! Murderers! Stop them! Kill! Strike back! Monsters!
McCoy rushes in and stops short, shocked at the sight of Spock touching the Horta.
What in the name of...
He looks at Kirk, who motions him over. McCoy creeps slowly and carefully past Spock and the Horta.
What is Spock doing?
It's wounded badly. You've got to help it.
Help that?
Go take a look.
McCoy reluctantly goes over to the Horta, carrying his medical tricorder and a small medical pack.
The end of life. Murderers.
McCoy kneels beside the creature and takes out a hand scanner. He passes it over the Horta, checks his tricorder, looks at Kirk with a hopeless expression, and comes over to him.
You can't be serious. The thing is virtually made out of stone.
Help it, treat it.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
You're a healer. There's a patient. That's an order.
McCoy scowls and returns to the Horta. Kirk peers at Spock, who's still kneeling beside it.
Mr. Spock, tell it we're trying to help. The mechanism.
Understood. It is the end of life. Eternity stops. Out into the tunnel to the Chamber of the Ages.
Kirk looks at the tunnel the creature arrived by.
Cry for the children. Walk carefully in the vault of tomorrow. Sorrow for the murdered children.
McCoy looks across at Spock as he passes his hand scanner over the creature. Spock shakes his head sorrowfully.
The thing you search for is there. Go. Go. Sadness. Sadness. For the end of things. Go. Into the tunnel. There is a passageway. Quickly, quickly.
Kirk clambers through the smooth, round tunnel. Nearby, Vandenberg and his men are being held back by Giotto and his team.
The captain said for you to wait here, and here is where you're gonna wait.
That murdering monster's in there, and we're gonna go in and kill it.
You're going to stay here.
Kirk stoops as he scurries along a narrow, gloomy tunnel, his phaser drawn. He stops and looks over his shoulder before continuing. He comes into a rocky chamber where he discovers a pile of the spherical silicon nodules, some of them broken like eggshells. Kneeling down, Kirk looks around, clips his phaser to his belt, and picks up a fragment of broken nodule. Back with the creature, McCoy is talking into his communicator.
That's right, Lieutenant. Just beam it down to me immediately, and never mind what I want it for. I just want it. Now move. It is time to sleep. It is over. Failure. The murderers have won. Death is welcome. Let it end here.
Mr. Spock.
Kirk holds a broken nodule.
Mr. Spock.
Spock. Spock. Come out of it.
Spock slowly raises his head, looking disorientated. He stands up, and Kirk, who's also carrying the missing pump, strides over to him.
I found the unit in there. It's in pretty good shape. I also found about a million of these silicon nodules. They're eggs, aren't they?
Yes, Captain. Eggs. And about to hatch.
The miners must have broken into the hatchery. Their operations destroyed thousands. No wonder.
They're coming.
The miners overpower the security team.
All right, let's go.
Come on.
How you doing, Doc?
I'll let you know.
Right,
no, don't fire.
Kill it.
First man that fires is dead.
That thing has killed 50 of my men.
And you've killed thousands of her children.
What?
Those round silicon nodules that you've been collecting and destroying? They're her eggs.
Vandenberg and his men look dumbfounded.
Tell them, Mr. Spock.
There have been many generations of Horta on this planet. Every 50,000 years, the entire race dies, all but one. Like this one. But the eggs live. She cares for them. Protects them. And when they hatch, she is the mother to them, thousands of them. This creature here is the mother of her race.
The Horta is intelligent, peaceful, mild. She had no objection to sharing this planet with you until you broke into her nursery and started destroying her eggs. And then she fought back in the only way she knew how, as any mother would fight, when her children are in danger.
We didn't know. How could we? You mean if these eggs hatch, there'll be thousands of those things crawling around down here?
This is where they live. They digest rock. They tunnel for nourishment.
And they are the most inoffensive of creatures. They harbor ill will toward no one.
Oh, look, we have per GM to deliver.
Yes, I know. Here's your circulating pump.
Kirk hands it to Appel.
You've complained that this planet is a mineralogical treasure house if you had the equipment to get at it. Gentlemen, the Horta moves through rock the way we move through air, and it leaves tunnels. The greatest natural miners in the universe, seems to me, that we could make an agreement, reach a modus vivendi. They tunnel, you collect and process, and your process operation would be 1,000 times more profitable.
Vandenberg looks round at his team.
Sounds all right if it'll work.
Except for one thing. The Horta is badly wounded. It may die.
It won't die. By golly, Jim, I'm beginning to think I can cure a rainy day.
Can you help?
Helped it? I cured it.
How?
Well, I had the ship beam down 100 pounds of that thermoconcrete, you know, the kind we use to build emergency shelters out of. It's mostly silicone. So I just troweled it into the wound, and it'll act like a bandage until it heals. Take a look. It's good as new.
Well, Spock, I'm going to have to ask you to get in touch with Horta again. Tell her our proposition. She and her children can do all the tunneling they want. Our people will remove the minerals, and each side will leave the other alone. Do you think she'll go for it?
It seems logical, Captain. The Horta has a very logical mind. And after close association with humans, I find that curiously refreshing.
Kirk raises his eyebrows and turns to McCoy with a smile as Spock crouches down in front of the Horta. Later, back on the Enterprise, Kirk and McCoy come onto the bridge.
Ship ready to leave orbit, Captain. Course laid in.
Very good, Mr. Spock.
Chief Engineer Vandenberg standing by on Channel 1.
Fine. Yes, Chief. Kirk here.
Just wanted to tell you, the eggs have started to hatch, Captain.
The first thing the little devils do is start the tunnel.
We've already hit huge new per diem deposits. I'm afraid to tell you how much gold and platinum and rare earths we've uncovered.
I'm delighted to hear that, Chief. Once Mother Horta tells her kids what to look for, you people are going to be embarrassingly rich.
You know, the Horta aren't so bad once you get used to their appearance.
Well, that's about it, Kirk. Thanks for everything.
Our pleasure, Chief. Kirk out.
Curious. What Chief Vandenberg said about the Horta is exactly what the Mother Horta said to me. She found humanoid appearance revolting, but she thought she could get used to it.
Oh, she did she? Now tell me, did she happen to make any comment about those ears?
Not specifically. But I did get the distinct impression she found them the most attractive human characteristic of all. I didn't have the heart to tell her that only I have...
She really liked those ears?
Captain, the Horta is a remarkably intelligent and sensitive creature with impeccable taste.
Because she approved of you?
Really, Captain, my modesty...
Does not bear close examination, Mr. Spock. I suspect you're becoming more and more human all the time.
Captain, I see no reason to stand here and be insulted.
Spock gives them a withering look and strides away.
Ahead, warp factor 2.
Kirk and McCoy chuckle as the Enterprise continues its journey. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.